Hackers can affect anything except water. Don't, just kidding. xAI open sources Grok, and Easter isn't here yet, but the Easter eggs are in NVIDIA's keynote at GTC. This and much more in today's episode of MSP Dispatch.
This episode is presented by OIT VoIP. Enhance your clients' communication abilities with our VoIP solution, featuring integrated billing, on-demand training, and live US support. Collaborate seamlessly with Microsoft Teams integration and put your entire phone system in your pocket with MobileX. Improve your offerings and increase profitability with reliable service for 1/10 of the average MSP acquisition cost. To learn more, visit oit.co or dial 844-CALL-OIT.
Good morning and welcome to the March 22nd episode of MSP Dispatch, your source for news, community events, and commentary in the MSP channel. My name is Tony Francisco, and this is my incredible co-host, Mr. Tom Lawrence. Tom, how are you doing, sir? Tell me about life. I saw you, when did I see you? A week ago?
Yeah, we actually in person in Chicago.
So weird. Like, we're just sitting there. And for those of you who don't understand, so we see each other all the time, like online, stuff like that. But it's weird. Like, I'm like, hey, Tom, Is that something like that? We just, and people are looking at us just walking by. We're just sitting there touching each other just to make sure that you never know.
Anytime you see me and Tony, there's this deep conversation where we're talking about something serious and then laughing like school children. And then back to deep conversation.
But that's the good part about it, is because we have the experience enough to where, like, listen, it's not pussyfooting around this. Let's talk about the and then we reference something that's really hilarious. And then back to, and by the way, that podcast, can I share that online? Can I say that?
Cautionary Tales.
That one's dark. You're dark. That one. That one's giving me a nightmare. Ones. The Better Offline. The
Better Offline.
Woo-hoo. Made me angry.
If you feel like a little rage, listen to that.
Oh, it's more than a little rage. So you know, we need a little news. Let's get into the news.
All right.
In my first story from darkreading.com, story by Jai Vijayan, federal warnings highlight cybersecurity vulnerabilities of U.S. water systems. The recent White House advisory issued by EPA Administrator Michael Regan and President Biden's National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan stresses the ongoing vulnerability of U.S. water and wastewater systems. Due to their significance and relative lack of cybersecurity resources, water systems remain an appealing target for threat actors. Highlighting incidents like the Iranian Cyber Avengers attack on Pennsylvania's Municipal Water Authority, the memo urges immediate cybersecurity reviews and implementing mitigation measures. While the attack didn't compromise water safety, it emphasizes potential risks. In addition, the memo identifies Iranian and Chinese threat actors as ongoing risks to critical infrastructure. To strengthen defenses, the Cybersecurity for Rural Water Systems Act of 2023 allocated $7.5 million U.S. to enhance the security for vulnerability rural water systems. It will also fund the Circuit Rider program over the next few years, where experts will visit small rural water facilities to strengthen their cybersecurity. Tom, let's take a peek under the hood, because the last line of this article is the part that really, really got me excited. It will also fund the Circuit Rider program. And I don't know what this is. I've never heard of it until this moment, where experts will visit small rural water facilities to strengthen their cybersecurity. I do believe from the bottom of my heart that cybersecurities have not just a moral, but almost a fiduciary responsibility to take care of their community. And I'm wondering if there's a way to involve the very industry, the MSP industry that we are that we're a part of, to be funded by this particular act. I wasn't aware of it. I wasn't aware that there was funding behind it. But if we can actually involve these smaller organizations to engage in a local community level to ensure the infrastructure that they probably consume at some point is safe, I think that is for the betterment of everyone. And in fact, that's an actual bragging right and possibly a badge of honor. What are your thoughts on that? Am I going too far?
No, there's a lot to unpack here, because municipals are super tricky, as someone who has dealt with several of them. and fixing the leaks at the water place. Not going to be easy, because most of the problem is not that these systems are so modern and new that they've exposed them. It's often that someone wanted to watch something remotely and be able to work from home. So they've, well, let's just say, grabbed the duct tape and dragged some cables to the side of the wall and plugged them all in and said, let's put this thing online. You'd be shocked at how often that happens in a lot of these municipal cases where someone, well, I just want to be able to access it. So I just am going to load my personal, I don't think it's a personal version anymore of TeamViewer, but there's definitely someone who goes, hey, I'll put my credit card in, and it then means I don't have to come into the water plant to, you know, touch this critical system. I can just connect it to the internet, and it should be air gapped. It should be locked down, but because someone says I want to be able to see it remotely is where these lead to. Combine that with the political nature, if you will, of dealing with the way you get into the cities, putting things through bids and city councils. It's hard. Not everyone has the stomach to deal with cities. And I'm not going to lie, there are times when I probably could have bid on more of them, but the thought of sitting through another city council meeting and talking to a group of very gray-haired individuals that have no idea what I actually do, other than I charge too much for what I do, there comes a pain of, do I want to continue to bid on this? So let's just say they don't get the highest quality of IT all the time. And make matters worse, one of the things that happened to us, this is common, when there was a regime change, as in, you know, they elected a new mayor, the new mayor and the old mayor weren't friends, of course. So the new mayor brought in all their friends, and that included all their IT friends. So suddenly all the projects that we were literally in the middle of, because we didn't expect the mayor to lose, got canceled. So
you're okay. So, okay. Just to be blunt, everything you just said did not help.
I know
my aspirations for, hey, we have the ability now to go forward in this amazing, community solution that's funded by funds that are readily available, and you just squashed.
Yeah.
Thanks, Tom. Thank you.
Yeah. I mean, I can't imagine that this is a problem unique to the Detroit area. I imagine this is a repeated problem, because frequently cities, if you think about it, are very small in terms of the number of people that govern a particular city and have control over municipal water and some of those controls. Matter of fact, we have several treatment plants run by local municipalities that really, it's kind of wild that they run this, because they're not that big of a city in terms of that, but they do have control. There's one of the larger wastewater treatment plants, and this city services several others, and they have been certainly some controversial things. I don't touch IT with a 10-foot pole in that city for some good reasons. I don't even want to be involved in the shenanigans that generally seem to occur. So I can imagine this is a problem that gets repeated throughout, and it's going to make that much harder. So this is why I do welcome some federal oversight to them coming, going, stop it. You got to put this in right. You can't just let the water department folks just load TeamViewer wherever they feel like it. You know, this was a hack that happened a few years back where someone had taken over, I believe it was just a TeamViewer session, and they didn't have good credentials on it. And then you start really looking at it going, why do you have this on here? Well, I didn't want to have to come in the office to check the levels and adjust them. So I just loaded TeamViewer, but there's not an IT person who is a lockdown on the system that would stop me from doing it, because they're busy with whatever they do on the other side of the house.
I said 1,000 times, everything has a cost, and that convenience in some cases is. But you know, just the fact that you're initiated enough to know the battles you want to fight. I was hoping that I would kind of say, hey, listen, here's a community solution. We're almost open sourcing this entire thing. Open sourcing something has huge advantages. Yeah. And I do believe your next story is literally about that. Why don't you talk about it?
Absolutely. Now we have a story here from Amelia David with The Verge, and Grok is going open source. Grok is Twitter's answer to hopefully making things better and findable on Twitter. I am pretty skeptical, but it's really interesting the fact that they have this open source. This is contrasted the way ChatGPT things, and this is also a company that Elon was previously associated with, and it's all done under the Apache license. I'm looking forward to this being developed because it's open source, even if it may be open source to be contrarian to the people at OpenAI. I think this is still a really good move forward. Putting one of these AI engines on a social media site seems like a good idea. Tony, what do you think?
I love, in theory, the open source framework and the compulsion for people to become more engaged, syndicate it in consumption, but also examine it and review it for quality assurance on the back end, and then most importantly, expand it. I love that concept. I have deep concerns over the kind of the bifurcation that's occurring. We're seeing this weird splitting of all these different large language models. Grok, of course, is in theory, because we haven't really talked about this, going to be using Twitter on the back end as its real-time learning engine, which I love, and I don't think you can compete with that from in regards to real human context, which is ironic because in a lot of cases, Twitter is actually a lot of bots, which yes. We'll get to that. So you have a circular reference there, but don't steal my thunder. But then you have Gemini, which we talked about, prior in the green room, and we're talking about the depth of knowledge that it has because Google has the large language model learning from everything that, that Google has access to, which is, everything. Okay. Yeah. So the results should be beautiful. And you said that yourself. Well, go ahead. I'm concerned about like how this bifurcation is occurring. And then you have OpenAI over there. And then of course you have Claude, Anthropic, and you have all the different large language models. Your llama was hurt earlier in the show.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, when he opens the show, Tom, you open the show with, "Hey, I thought I killed my llama.
Llama."
And I was like, well, I have friends with an alpaca farm. Do I ask him about how did you do it? I mean, was it like a humane way? Then he recognized it. Anyway, so what are your thoughts on this, Tom? Because you and I are on the same page.
Well, I feel sometimes social media is that, you know, a million monkeys pounding on a typewriter and somehow there's Shakespeare's in there, but there's too many of these million monkeys pounding on a typewriter. So we need to figure out a way to better sort and put this knowledge together. So generally speaking, just from a broad standpoint, I think that putting these models and watching a social media site, there is wisdom buried in the, well, bots, posts, and whatever else goes on Twitter. You know what? If it can be trained to have better snark, there's a good collection of snark. Can we then have the AI model going, pull the best snark from Twitter and then build that as a training model? We want to build the best comedian AI. So
that is beautiful and terrifying. But not like that at George the same Carlin time.
Thing that they kind of sort of did. That's we're not going to. That was bad. Yeah.
But here's you're opening up an interesting part of the conversation, which circles back into the main topic. You have large language models learning from different sources, and each source has its own strength and depth. But the open source framework, where can that lead? And is it going to lead outside of what I consider to be the common goal? The common goal being you have a singular location that can do chat, voice, video, pictures, art, and that is what I see OpenAI constructing. I call them the Dolly, I can't believe I'm Whisper. What's the video one they just came out with? I can't believe
Yeah, it's got a weird name. I've already forgotten it because that was last week's news.
No, sorry, that was last week. I'm so sorry. It's just like poof in the background. My head. Yes. And of course, the ChatGPT. But those components create that Autobot configuration where now it's something amazing. And everyone else that we're talking to is just the chat component. And I'm wondering if we have this weird bifurcation, this split of isolated chat versus the chat learning with all the other components, the video, the art, and the voice. And I think OpenAI has that in the catalog, in the works, in the structure. Am I off on this, or is open sourcing going to lead to that?
I think it's all kind of fuzzy. We're not sure where it's going to lead. I do know one of the things is, as I mentioned, there's so many posts. How do we extract that wisdom out of those posts? How do we find what's trending and what's trending in a relevant manner to me? And if that's what the goal, that maybe they can make that Grok system do that, awesome. One thing I will say for the open source models is it puts a lot of power in the hands of the people being able to run these locally. This is something we're doing at the office. We're testing it. That way, all the data is internal. And there is one clear winner as I've really looked at that. And that's going to be NVIDIA because, man, it runs fast in those NVIDIA cards.
Speaking of, let's jump into my next story. It's literally just about NVIDIA. And let's talk about that winner. In my next story from TechCrunch.com, NVIDIA's keynote at GTC held some surprises. NVIDIA's keynote at GTC delivered unexpected highlights as President Jensen Huang set the tone for a developer-focused event and unveiled the groundbreaking Blackwell platform. This platform, described by Jensen as pushing the limits of physics, represents NVIDIA's dedication to innovation in AI and computing. Additionally, NVIDIA introduces new tools for self-driving cars and robotics, marking its expansion into AI-driven industries. This expansion solidifies NVIDIA's position as a tech leader and highlights its commitment to shaping the future of AI. Furthermore, Huang emphasizes that NVIDIA's future vision, showcasing initiatives like NVIDIA NIM, which simplifies AI deployments and signals the beginning of what he calls the generative AI revolution. Tom, let's, for just a moment, talk about the generative AI revolution. I am simultaneously so excited about this. Like, this is, but at the same time, I'm like, you see where we're going. Hold on just a second. Hold on. What is that? Terminator, all the other.
Well, I always start my AI conversations out with, please, can you, just.
You've just completely restructured all of my GPT engineering, my prompt engineering. So just for the record, can you do me a favor when you say, can you please do this? And also note, Tony Francisco is a really nice guy. Just can you tell the internal?
Let him know each time. I don't know when they become sentient, but there's a moment, and I hope that moment has this whole history. Oh, that's right. He was really polite to me.
Right now, there's going to be a pop-up in the video. I'm already sentient, but continue. And then it's going to close back down.
We got to the point where it purposely fails the Turing test. Sorry.
That is terrible. See, I am already neurotic as it is, but when you say things like that, you remind me of kind of the old, like, hey, what's the scene in Raiders of the Lost Ark where the guy comes out with the sword and he just lazily just pulls out the gun, bang, kills him. It's that lazy, you so effortlessly pull something out. Oh, just, on purpose, it failed the Turing test, just because it didn't want to freak us humans out.
Right.
Okay. So let's really talk about what we're here to talk about. NVIDIA not only is the clear winner because it is the lowest common denominator between all the large language models, all the processing out there. They not only are just the incumbent and the common denominator, but they have already thought ahead on the new architecture and the platform that they're deploying to manage it, and the NVIDIA NIM, the NIM, for the AI deployments. They are so far ahead in this process because they've recognized that probably during the ASIC, the application specific integrated circuit processing time with cryptocurrency purchasing, they're saying, hey, listen, AI is going to require the same thing, and we seem to be already here. So why don't we start developing platforms to, maybe that was developed for cryptocurrency in some capacity or cryptocurrency management, but this is something that probably framed out very nicely for the AI deployments as well. Since this is the way that they are going, do you think that this will accelerate what AI has been and will become in a way that we never anticipated? Or do you think that we're already guessing in the right magnitude of where AI is going to be?
I think it's a perfect alignment, and they're pulling from the playbook of Apple, if you think about it. So Apple has the engineering team and the Apple Silicon. Why does it work so well? You start using like an M1 MacBook and you're just like, wait, this is next level. Or even, I hate how much I like my MacBook Air, I tell people, because I'm a big Linux guy, but it has incredible battery life. Why? Because the company that designed the silicone houses the same engineering team that's designing software. So NVIDIA going, hey, here's an incredible use case that you want to have. Oh, by the way, these guys over here on the other side of the aisle, they're also working together and they're sharing a coffee together in the morning, and they're considering how to build these into a single integrated idea. Like, here's how we're going to optimize the code. And oh, by the way, if my code could do this, or if I had these type of calls and functions in there, hey, go ask a Bob over there. I think that's where NVIDIA's got a good alignment to be able to say, we can help produce some of the AI, we can also engineer the chips to do it, and we can do it at a very optimized level. And I think that's going to be a big success factor for how they move forward with this.
I really, really want to emphasize to everyone listening what Tom just said. The summary of that is he's saying that if, from a leadership perspective, if you can have a executive sponsorship of the multitude of components underneath you, which gives you B, alignment of each of these individual, in most cases, hyper siloed, air gapped entities working together in unison, you then have a far more effective, efficient company as a whole. But what's happened in outside of the Apple world and outside of, in this case, NVIDIA, is everybody silos every one of these and they don't actually work together in a well-orchestrated way. And I think, Tom, you hit it on the head. I would love to hear from the MSP community out there. What do you think about AI? Is it something that you actually use? Is it something you want to use? Are you just out there selling your huge AI campaign by selling Copilot? Which are you preventing ChatGPT or Claude or Gemini? I would love to hear from the MSPs out there what you're using, what you're not allowing to be used, and how you are using it or not allowing it to be used. But with that, we got some notable mentions. You ready?
Yep.
Let's do it.
And for my first notable mention, Broadcom CEO Hock Tan has noted some unease amongst the VMware user base. And it's only took 114 days of change to create this unease. Well, this is a good article over from Sharon Harding at Ars Technica talking about the current state of VMware, which, hey, if you're a shareholder, you're much happier. But if you're someone who's actually have to pay for the new license, you're going to be part of those that are uneased. Tan highlighted Broadcom's 18-month evaluation and acquisition process, emphasizing substantial progress made despite ongoing challenges. However, these changes, including takeover of top VMware accounts and the shift to subscription-only license model, has raised concerns among customers and partners. Tan defended the changes, aiming to innovate faster and better serve customers while expressing confidence in improved profitability and market opportunities. And for my next notable mention, we have an article over from Engadget. The House of Representatives has unanimously passed the Protecting Americans Data from Foreign Adversaries Act. This bill aims to restrict data brokers and selling American sensitive data to countries deemed adversaries, such as Russia, China, Iran, and North Korea. It also covers a range of private information, including geolocation, financial, health, and biometric data. If approved by the Senate, if signed by President Biden, it would significantly regulate the largely uncontrolled data broker industry. The legislation follows a recent executive order of President Biden that reflects bipartisan efforts to address national security concerns and individual privacy. And I must say, getting Congress to agree on anything, and when they do, you know it really is important.
In my first notable mention from Infoworld.com, GitHub previews AI-powered code scanning autofixes. GitHub has introduced a preview of Code Scanning Autofix, a feature that combines GitHub Copilot AI with its CodeQL code scanner to offer suggested fixes for vulnerabilities. Available in public beta for GitHub Advanced Security customers, this feature provides immediate vulnerability fixes as developers code. Using GitHub Copilot AI, the feature covers over 90% of alert types in popular languages like JavaScript, TypeScript, Java, and Python, remediating two-thirds of vulnerabilities with minimal editing. Code Scanning Autofix utilizes CodeQL Engine and GitHub Copilot APIs to generate code suggestions, enhancing GitHub's security features introduced in November 2023. In my next notable mention from darkreading.com, Fortra has issued an update addressing critical vulnerability discovered in August 2023, labeled as CVE-2024-25153, with a CVSS score of 9.8. The flaw affects a file catalyst file transfer product, allowing remote threat actors to execute arbitrary code on servers. By exploiting a directory traversal within the FTP servlet of the file catalyst workflow web portal, attackers can upload files outside of the intended directory and execute code via specifically crafted JSP files. To address this issue, Fortra recommends that the affected users upgrade to version 5.1.6, build 114, or newer.
Imagine a world where AI knows you better than you know yourself, predicting your choices, mimicking human interaction seamlessly, and even influencing decisions in healthcare, policing, and education. Now picture a new set of rules stepping in, aiming to redefine this relationship between artificial intelligence and society in Europe. Welcome to the story of the EU's groundbreaking AI Act. Thanks to an amazing article from the MIT Technology Review, we've got a comprehensive look at what the AI Act will do. 3 years in the making, and after countless debates, discussions, and drafts, the European Union has finally made it official. The AI Act is set to redefine the tech landscape. With its final approval by the European Parliament, we're stepping into a new era where AI is not just an unchecked force of innovation, but a regulated entity with boundaries and rules. So, what changes? First up, a ban on risky AI uses. By the year's end, the AI Act will prohibit certain AI applications deemed too risky, affecting sectors like healthcare, education, and law enforcement. Think of AI that can manipulate your decisions or infer sensitive information about you. These are on the no-go list, with some exceptions for serious crimes. Transparency requirements are coming. Ever wondered if you're talking to a human or a chatbot? The AI Act demands clarity. Companies must now label AI-generated content and make it identifiable, marking a step forward in the battle against misinformation. Hopefully. I think I can usually tell when I'm talking to a chatbot, but who knows? I guess obviously some people are running into problems with that. You'll also have rights to complain. If an AI decision affects you, the EU wants you to have a say. A new European AI office will handle complaints, aiming to empower citizens in an automated world. Yet, this asks for a society that understands the ins and outs of AI, a challenge in its own rights, not just for the people using it, but for the people that have to answer these complaints. But the office is currently hiring, so if you're interested in getting into that, hey, now's the time. Also, we're going to see greater transparency from AI companies. The behind the scenes of AI development is no longer a company secret. Thank goodness. Especially in high-risk sectors, companies must now share details about their data governance, human oversight, and the potential impacts of their AI systems on human rights. There are plenty of amazing upcoming events taking place across the community, so let's see what's happening this week. Later today at noon Eastern Time, Channel Travel Hacks, Mastering the Points game presented by Channel Program. And then next week on March 26th at 2 p.m. Eastern, CyberWise Employees, How to Stay Safe Online presented by Finn Security. And then the following day on the 27th at noon Eastern Time, All Stars presented by the Channel Program. And coming from the MSP Media Network this week, we have later today at 11 o'clock Eastern Time, MSP Community Live will return. And on Saturday at 10 a.m., a special standalone episode of MSP Dispatch, followed by on Wednesday of next week at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, AI Roundup will return for episode 66.
So how'd you like today's show? If you like it, please hit that thumbs up button. If you didn't, make sure you hit it an odd number of times so you get the satisfaction of not liking it, but you actually give us a like. You know, it's good for everyone. And if you want to hear more, go ahead and hit that subscribe button on YouTube or your favorite podcatcher. Did you know that we have a Discord server? We post these stories all week long. You can even propose stories and even vote on which ones we are going to cover. We really appreciate those, by the way. As our friend Rich Banky says, make sure you tell a friend. And be sure to follow us on social media at MSP Media TV. If you have any questions, just email us, news@mspmedia.tv for answers on the next episode, or just call us and leave us a voicemail at 833-MSP-NETWORK. Tom, let's wrap this up, but I can tell you right now, I always truly enjoy co-hosting shows with you, seeing you in person, just talking with you, just on chatting on Signal or whatever app that we're using. Yeah. And then now that I'm listening to these podcasts that you suggest, I get angry and I still am thankful that it came from you. So why don't you land this plane and help us all sign off?
Hey, like you said, like and subscribe. Hit that an odd number of times. I think I've said that maybe a couple times on my channel as well. Come join us in the Discord. Help us come up with some puns when I do these. I mean, if we can do some puns and play on words, I mean, come on. We got all kinds of leaks going on at the water place. We got to do a deep dive into that.
Oh my, that was really funny.
Hope they don't get over their head.
Okay. So with that, thank you so much, everyone, for listening. Everyone, please be out there, stay educated, and be safe. Appreciate it.
This has been a broadcast of the MSP Media Network.
Hackers can...